Sessions. You're on for another virtual episode with
Candace,
Celia,
and Jazz. And y'all know on our podcast, we talk about all things life, love, and legacy. So today, we're going to stop right in the middle at that love piece and talk about it, okay? So y'all know in season one, we talked about dating. That was while we were still in Korea. We talked about what it's like to date as an expat. And then towards the end of the season, we talked about the perpetual single life of the Black woman. So today we're going to do a little...
A lot of episodes about dating. I just, when you enumerate as such, I realize it was at 33% of the whole season. Okay.
Y'all know we like to talk about it. So today we're going to do like a little follow-up, if you will, now that we're all stateside and it's a whole pandemic going on. Love has taken on a whole different form in 2020. So ladies, on your end, what is it like to date in America? And for you, do you think it's hard to find a good man or not?
Go ahead, Candace.
I was like, Delia.
I saw your mouth getting ready to move. I was like, oh, she has to say, go ahead.
Yeah, it was going to say, Delia. So we got to acknowledge the fact that when we first, in season one, episode 5, Send Me Your Location, most listened to episode ever. That was, what, 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So as a woman, I think I've grown in those past 2 years. So how I approach the love game is a little bit different in general. You put my maturity on top of a pandemic, and it may appear as regression.
Hold on. Because you're doing some algebra right now, and I don't think me and Dee are following the equation.
Restep that, like
it's short.
Can you solve for X? Because I don't understand what you just said.
In short, these are the times that try men's souls, and women ain't really about that right now.
All right, so back it up before Corona. Okay, just being stateside, like what's your level of engagement with men on an everyday basis? Let's say walking down the street, going to the mall, gas station, like what does that look like and how open are you to entertaining men?
Delia?
Oh Lord, okay.
Gonna be an episode.
Okay. My level, okay, so I am, you guys know, and if you don't know, you can go back and listen to the previous episodes. I'm not a huge fan of the call-outs, whatever you want to call them. So if like a man sees you on the street, the cat calls, right. I'm not a huge fan of those. I would prefer, if you would like to talk to me, that you would just come up and say like a general greeting, like a good morning or a hello or a afternoon or something. I'm not a huge fan of the, hey, baby, hey, mama, hey, beautiful. That's not how I like to be approached.
Time. So in the 2 years.
That has not changed.
You've never grown so beautiful as still because you didn't like that 2 years ago.
And I don't like it today.
Fair.
That has not changed. I don't know if it ever will. That has not changed. I don't mind if someone calls me beautiful once they know me. But on the first initial point of contact, I would prefer you just to say hello. That's just me. That hasn't changed. I think that I've had interactions with people. Are you still timing me out?
Just one more question. In the time of Corona, when people can't get close to make that initial, can they shout a hey beautiful underneath the mask from 6 feet away to get your attention?
That's even more not okay because I can't see your face. And you now screaming at me with the mask from across the street. Nah, boo. Because now you're in a mask, I can't see your face, and you're yelling at me. I don't like that. I would just prefer you, even if it's 6 feet and you're like, hey, and I've had men approach me like that, and that makes me feel a little bit more comfortable than you just like calling something out at me. So that has not changed.
Okay. Noted. So if you think about a good man and you want this man to materialize, what does a good man look like? Candace.
What does he look like physically, or what does he look like in general?
What does that look like? What is a good man in your definition?
In the times of Corona or in general? Because I feel like we got two separate
situations. We got to do BC.
Does that change? But does that change? Like a good man, BC, that's different?
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because... Did we adjust?
Okay. Yeah, I had to sit up in my chair and get ready for this one.
Let me tell you why. Because BC, you are not aware of how far someone is willing to go to protect themselves, you, and the world around them. Like a selfish person and a not selfish person look the same, BC. Ooh. But AC, like if he's like, hey, let's go out. And then he show up at the front door with no mask on. My heart is grieved, my soul is disturbed, and I'm looking at him like, have you no decency?
Okay.
I get that. That's a valid
point. And now we know a lot more about people, AC, that we didn't even think to ask, BC. So I think there are two things.
That's real. Okay. But if we strip it down to qualities, like characteristics, personality, like things that don't change, what does that look like?
Okay. So in my 2 years of maturity, I have, the 2 years since the first episode, I have still learned that because travel is such an intricate part of who I am as a person, and it's a part that I'm not willing to let go of, and I like gone through the process of deciding like who I'm gonna be, you know, like these are the core elements of my being, and I'm okay with that being a core element. I found that a quality that I look for now and that is kind of becoming non-negotiable is either just a very keen awareness of the global world around us, and an interest in travel, or at the very least an acceptance of a life of travel. Mm-hmm. Like I would prefer, you know, you have been some places and seen some things. And I'm not talking about monuments. I mean, we're travelers, right? So we know what it means, like to have engaged with people who are not like you and be comfortable in an environment that is not where everybody doesn't look like you, sound like you, and know what you know. Mm-hmm. And so that has become like something that I value as a quality. And then I think what comes with that person is just like the stories they tell, my ability to stay curious about that person is there. And then that leads to me just being more respectful and having a greater depth of respect for that person, because I know that their stories and their experiences are deeper, you know, than America. Mm-hmm. That's what I look for now. Like, and I think if I only look for that, I'm still single. So
that's my question. That being said, if that is your idea of a good man, is it hard to find a good man?
Yes.
Okay. Hold that thought. Hold it, because we're going to dig into that some more. But D, on your end, if you describe a good man, what does that look like?
I think Candace said the word curious, which I was also kind of thinking of, but I didn't attach that word curious to it. But someone who is really about continuing to be a life learner, and isn't just like, I'm here, I've made it here, I'm good. And I don't want to really experience or learn or grow outside of what I've already built for myself.
Right.
That's not me. I'm definitely someone who wants to continue to grow and learn. And I put my hands in kind of all bunch of different pots and I try things out. And so I want to be with someone who also kind of has that value for themselves. And then I think one thing that I've learned over the past 2 years is that I want someone who's going to continuously be curious about me and not just, this is who I know you to be. And there's no there's no room for growth here. There's no room for me learning more about you, not just your past, but also your present and your future. Because if we about to do this thing for the next 40, 50 years, there's going to be more about me that you're going to learn. And you need to be okay with that. There's going to be more about you that I'm going to need to learn. And I need to be okay with that. So I think that like level of wanting to be curious about life, but then also about each other so we can keep things moving, has also become really important to me.
I want to add that to my list, please. That's what I was trying to say, but you know.
Yeah.
Come out like that.
And the travel thing is huge because you don't, with us, I think it's different than like, let's just go on vacation for 2 weeks. That's not necessarily what we mean when we say that. We love, hey, look, I'll go on vacation 2 weeks. That's cool too. But when we say travel, when we say experience different things, that's not just what we mean. Mm-hmm. So being with someone who's open mindset about different cultures and life experiences and traveling and can understand that is also a huge piece for me. And that was big for me even before I went to Korea, just yes. Because my family are immigrants. So that was a big thing for me just from the beginning, just from jump. I've always kind of had that thought of like, I want to be with someone who understands that there's more than just their world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So for me in these past 2 years, like thinking of this question as it applies to my situation before I got
Merg.
Candace said something in season one on the dating episode. And you said, Candace, that you need to be with somebody who is kind.
Oh, yes.
You said like, kindness is different from being nice. Like, it's not something you put on. It's a core element of your being, right?
Yeah.
And as a person who's discerning and who's able to, like, read people, that's something that I took with me. And I was like, man, like, if you're really looking at someone, you can tell if they're a kind person or not, right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuck with me. And Candace, that helped me in my journey. Can I just say that that was a big...
I would like our listeners to see this moment, pause right now and take a moment to reflect, not on whether or not you are with a kind individual, but on the maturity of this relationship between Jazz and I right here, this moment.
Growth.
Yes.
And also to put into perspective, all, with all of the jokes about dating that I might have, sometimes I say something that's real good.
You do. But that, like, A kind man is a different breed. And like, you can look in a man's eyes and tell if he has kind eyes. Like, kind eyes is actually a thing. If you really look into somebody's eyes, you can tell. So that was something that I was like, dang, like, let me add this to my list. So, you know, we all want a nice guy, a kind guy, but actually thinking about it and having that in the forefront of like when you're meeting someone. So that was a piece, and that's what I ended up with. The good Lord blessed me with a kind man, and I never knew that that's what I needed. But that piece right there, it really, really fit exactly what I was looking for in a man that I was not able to articulate.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
When you say that, like, you know, looking for kindness, would you say that it's a rare thing to find in men, or is it just difficult to find?
I would say up until now, I had not come across a kind, like a genuinely kind man who at his core is kind, caring, considerate, compassionate. I had not found that until now.
Mm-hmm. I have a theory about why that might be. And I think because as a child, like, how often are women told to be kind versus how often are little girls told to be kind versus how often little boys are told to be kind? Mm-hmm. I think we, more of us than not, came into this place with kindness as a virtue, and a larger percentage of men got that kind of beaten out or stuffed down or buried because it's mm-hmm. hard to instill that. And while you're telling someone, be a man. Mm-hmm. Don't cry, don't show emotion. Mm-hmm. Kindness goes with it. And I think that's why I personally find it to be rare. I think whoever's been able to hold on to that virtue that you came here with, despite all of society telling you it's not a necessary trait or benefit for you, mm-hmm. That's a unicorn. So congratulations, girl, on that unicorn.
You know what I learned too is that one of the things at the top of my list when I was single was finding someone who was very family oriented. And I think kindness and family oriented, they go hand in hand, because if you find a man who's good to his mama, who knows how to take care of people when they're sick, who knows how to cook, who knows how to, you know what I mean? Like all those things that really you have to be caring and considerate of others. If you find that, most likely he's a kind man. And that's what I found.
So if you're still single and you're looking and you don't have the discernment to look into those eyes and see kindness, okay, second best, how he feel about his mama. When was the last time he saw her? Are they on speaking terms?
Or the other women in his life, or just the other people in his life, you know, looking at that, his relationships with people outside of you will be a good indication, a strong indication. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to put this out there. I am very proud of my little brother. He is a good man. And it's crazy calling him a man because he's my little brother. But my little brother is a good man. And that's because he's learned how to treat me and my mom and my sister well.
Yep.
Like, so I can vouch for that being something that you ladies out there can look for. He's taken. Sorry, guys.
Why even?
I'm just saying it works. It works.
The theory
works. I'm saying I agree with your theory, Candace.
Okay. So, Dee, what Candace kind of mentioned hers, but what's your level of interaction with dudes on the everyday? Like, are you open? How do you entertain men? Like, is that something that?
I've never been a dater. So like, I've never been someone who's been out and about, who's like dated and kind of, you know, looked around in the scene and things like that. I've never been that person. I'm definitely more focused when I go out. Like when I go out with a purpose. Where am I going? I'm going to the grocery store. I got to buy this, 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 this. I got my post-it with my list on it. Like I'm ready. I'm in and I'm out. Right. So it's hard for me sometimes to be aware of what's going on because I'm on a mission, especially now after COVID. I'm like, I'm going into the grocery store. I know which aisle I'm going to, and I know that I'm going to self-checkout. Like that is my life right now.
Meet a very kind, handsome cashier because you ain't even.
Right. Like I'm not talking to nobody. But that was me before COVID too. So okay. I always did self-checkout. But I think that I tried to jump into like the online dating pool and, you know, some of the different apps and stuff, and that was cool for a little bit, but then I just kind of got annoyed and tired of it. And then there's a guy in a grocery store who approached me. And see, let me just say this. He has seen me several times.
Okay.
Last week was the first time he said anything.
Okay. He was working up courage. He was working up the courage.
And he came over.
So wait, he works at the grocery store.
He works at the grocery store. He's like one of the managers because his picture's on the wall.
So he has a job. Okay.
Well, okay. Yes.
And he came up to me and he said, I hope you have a really great day.
Wait a minute. Now, didn't we talk about this in season one? Less is more. You don't have to approach a woman doing the most. A simple line.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that was it. And I was like, I think I will now. And then I got my potatoes and I walked away.
Okay.
I love it. Okay. All right.
But, you know, there's opportunity. It's not like they're all over the place.
Right.
But I think also with women, we have to be open to those opportunities. If we're not open, like he could have came up to me and I could have been like, you know what I mean? Like, and I've done it. We've all done it. We've been there. But then you miss it. You might miss an opportunity that you would have never had if you are so like, you know, because it happens. So that was an opportunity that I got a chance. And it felt really good to be able to like flirt again. I was like, oh, I kind of miss like, you know, this flirtatiousness part of me. You know, I was happy about it. It felt good.
Hey, I miss shouting out, hey, Grace Whippets, like, speaking of a flirt, like, when was the last time we've been able to say that? It's been so long.
Hey, Grace Whippets. Y'all, okay, so when, speaking of being open, so when I moved back 2 years ago, single, I was like, okay, I told myself, I said, self. I said, self, we gotta be open. That, because that's key. Really, like Dee said, like, if you're not open, you're cutting yourself short. So I was like, all right, we're gonna be open, self. And my definition of being open was any dude who asks for my number can have it. Like, I'm not going to play this game. I'm like, oh, no, I don't give out my number. Like, no. If you come correct and you ask for my number, you can have it. So that was my definition of being open. Mm-hmm. My mother, on the other hand, took it upon herself to be my number one wing woman. So every time we went out, she was like, all right, girl, we going out to the store, get dressed. You know, I'll put on my makeup. I'm like, okay, we might meet somebody. Like, let me get ready. Let me look halfway decent. Like, let me do my part to be presentable.
All right.
So my parents at the time were living right next to an army base. Plenty of dudes. She's like, girl, we going to the commissary, get dressed, let's go. So, all right, we going to the store, we're shopping, whatever. So we end up driving down the road. In her car, she's driving. She looks over. She's like, ooh, you see him over there? He kind of cute. I said, who? She's like, dude right there, you know, in the car right there. And I'm like, I'm looking over. I'm like, okay. We're driving this whole time. I'm like, okay, yeah, he's kind of cute. She's like, you want me to say something? In the car, mom. Like, what do you mean?
What you gonna say, mama?
She's like, let me know now. And I was like, okay, sure. So she rolls down her window. She's like, hey, flags him down. He rolls down his window. She goes, hey, my girl want to talk to you. And leans back so, like, he could see over into the passenger side.
Mom is a G.
Wow.
I love it.
She threw me in the deep end. And I was like, hey, like, waving from the passenger seat. Hey, how you doing? And he's like, I'm good. So my mom was like, hey, you want to pull over so you can talk to my girl? In traffic.
Come through, mom.
In traffic. She pulls over to the side of the road in this little parking lot. He pulls over to the side of the road. We get out of the car, exchange numbers. I didn't even have a phone at the time. Remember how we talked about that coming home? I was literally home for like a week. I didn't have a phone. So we pull over and me and my mom are still in the car. I'm like, mom, I don't have a phone. And she's like, girl, use mine. So she gives me her phone. I get out the car, go to this guy. I'm like, hey, this is my mom. You know, we're just out shopping. He's like, yeah, she's cool. So, like, we're talking for a second, exchange numbers. And then my mom's like, all right, have a good day now. And then we, like, both go our separate ways. It was hilarious. Anyways, long story short, I end up calling this guy just to see what's up. I'm like, hey, you know, we met. It's so-and-so. It's Jazz. You know, we met in traffic today. Like, what's good? You know, what are you doing? So we talked a couple times. Probably by the second or third time we talked, he's like, hey, full disclosure, I got to let you know, I have a family back home. I'm just here, stationed here for a little bit. But, and I was like, after all that.
No, sir.
After all that, I was like, okay, situation over. But all that to say, being open, at least that's a starting point, and it does go a long way if you're at least willing to, like, talk to people.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That story had me at, yo, your mom.
That's the story right there, mom. Mm-hmm. Does she fly, like, does she offer services? Yeah. I would fly to St. Louis to be my wingman for the weekend. Like, can we?
is she busy?
Because that kind of, I mean, wow.
Yeah, she was about it.
Wow.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I don't give out my number. That's, that to me is so, like when you were saying that, I was like, oh my gosh, that causes me to, like, be a little anxious a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't even know. Cause I haven't had to really even give it out yet. So I thought about that question the other day. I was like, what would I do? You know, I'm like, do I give my Instagram handle? No, I don't want to have my Instagram handle. Do I give my email? That seems weird now. Like, here's my email. You know what I mean? Like, that seems so weird, but then you do have to take a chance. But I just, you know, if it doesn't rot, I don't want you to have my number. I've had my number since I was 15. I don't want you to have my number no more because I don't have to change it.
You can always block people.
That's true. Candace, do you give out your number?
So I was just thinking about this because I was like, I don't think anyone has asked me for my number in a long time. It's always like, what's your Instagram? Are you on Facebook? That's the question I used to get. Are you on Facebook? And I'm like, yeah, but so is my mom. Like, let's not do that. but the last like person that I didn't know that I was like trying to holler at or whatever, I did get my Facebook. And I think like because my Facebook is a better, it shows all the parts of me at the same time. It was like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And you can block somebody on Facebook too, which is really easy. So I felt like that was really helpful. Cause then like, I remember the first time I went out with this person, they saw me on Facebook. And then after we went out, they sent me an email of eight reasons why they might be concerned about our relationship based off of who I presented as on Facebook. And they were valid points. He was like, I just want you to know up front, like, you seem like a person who really loves the Lord, cares about religion. I'm not really there. So if that's something that's really important to you, I want you to know up front, et cetera, et cetera. Shout out to that man, because we're still friends. We don't date, but we're still friends. And at least it was honest. So I think Facebook does a good job.
Wow.
So what about online dating, though? If you're, you know, scrolling through an app, what are some red flags where if you see this on his profile, you're not really rocking with this guy?
I did have a guy hit me up like a couple days ago, and his name, according to his dating app, was Boaz. And he looked about 56, 57. And for me, that's a red flag. No dude's named Boaz. Cause I just feel like, really, are we like recreating something? Is that your real, I don't want just the story. I don't know.
I'm not. I get that. I don't know. Red flag. I think it would also be like the name or even just like the profile. If you're trying to be witty, but it comes off disingenuous or like creepy, then that just kind of instantly puts me off. And then also I think if the conversation does get started and then it goes into like, it's just not really flowing, or there's just like a lot of I'm asking you questions, or you're, you know, like there's no back and forth, then that to me is kind of an initial kind of turn off there too.
Something that used to irk me is when dudes didn't have a profile picture on their dating app, or it was like their dog or something stupid. Like, why are you, like, why? Mm-hmm. So I took it upon myself when we were in Korea, I would help people with their dating profiles and be like a consultant, because I'm like, no, you need to change this, do this, add this. Like, because it's a representation of who you are. Like, if you don't have anything enticing on your profile, then how do you expect to like get any dates, right? Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that amount of effort is necessary in the time of Corona, where we're all kind of starved for affection and attention? And I mean, we're gonna show me a picture of your face with a mask on. Like, do you feel like the standard of dating profiles has kind of gone down during our current situation?
Maybe.
The first real, I guess, is my question.
Supply and demand, right?
Supply and demand. See, I told math was involved. It's economics.
So maybe, you know, people are just like, I'm going to just do this. I'm going to just put this out there because
whatever.
I need some form of connection with somebody, you know, as opposed to maybe before it was like, I'm going to be really intentional about what I'm putting out because I'm looking for something specific. Whereas now it might be a little bit different where people are just looking for connection in general, whether it's to last for a long time or not, you know? So it might be, I could see that would be something that has changed.
Mm-hmm. So I've moved off of dating websites and just like the Instagram DM slide. Like, I get more information, we could talk more, you can even add, it's got video now.
Okay.
Okay with that. They've all seen Sotong, so they know how I feel about dating, especially now.
Making it easier for them.
Right. You already know. You already know steps 1, 2, 3. So if you come at me, you should already be there.
And it's nice, especially that's how I do love in the time of Corona, the DM slide.
Okay.
All right. So ladies, let me set the scene for you real quick.
Okay.
Picture, I mean, this could be pre-pandemic or currently, but picture this. You're out on a date with a guy. You met him online. The chat's been good for a couple weeks. Candace, I know you have like a 4-week trial period that you need to have.
In my season of maturity, I've cut that in half, but let's go on.
Okay. 2 weeks. So he passed the test, that 2-week trial period, texting, phone calls, whatever. You finally go on a date in person. You go to a cute little restaurant. You know, you're sitting there about to start the date. What are some green flags? So first, what are green flags? Like things that he's doing that you're checking for that you're like, okay, check, check, check. I'm feeling it. What are you looking for?
Okay. All right. So let's say we're in St. Louis. Then I know that he took me to Applebee's, eating good in the neighborhood. Because that's where dudes in the loop want to take you. So I'm having the chicken tender basket. And this is going to sound really weird, but if I order the chicken tender basket, he gets the ribs with the fries, but we're talking, the conversation is flowing, and he goes ahead and reaches over and grabs a fry out of my tray, and that makes me feel good. I feel like that's an indication that, like, sharing is caring, that things are going well, and I have permission to do the same in future dates. So I just need that seal broken.
Somebody got to take the first fry.
Let him take the first fry. Let me know that it's something like that. You know, something okay. like that happens. That's a green flag for me. Like, okay. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that's my number. That's like my first flag, I guess.
Okay. D, what's your green flag?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a dater. So going out on dates is not something that I've really done. And so I don't know what would be a green flag. I like that though, because I do like to, you know, like one person get one thing, the other person get the other thing, and y'all kind of split it or share
it. Sharing it, yeah. You know?
So I like that. That would be a green flag thing. I think maybe just like the, okay, so I'll say this and I realized this when I met Jasmine's husband, who was her boyfriend at the time. His awareness of her when we went out was when I was like, yep, that's him right there.
Give me an example. What is that?
So we went out and just walking down the street, you could tell that he was always aware of where she was. When we went into the bar, he was always aware of where she was. Like, not like I got up, not hovering. So like, not like that, but you could just tell his presence. He always knew where she was. And he was always within arm's reach. And I picked up on that, like, and I was like, this man got my girl.
Yeah.
You know, like, it filled my heart so much to know that she had found somebody like that, that I was like, I want that. Like, I want a man who is aware of where I am and can grab me at arm's length if necessary.
Yep.
Thanks, Paul. So,
If we go into a restaurant and he's just like aware, you know, like he doesn't just walk off in front of me or just kind of like sit down and, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he's got to pull out my chair or nothing like that. I mean, that's great too. But just to be aware of where I am and to kind of know that I'm here with you mm-hmm. is a big deal, mm-hmm. I think. And it just makes me feel safe and comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, like that would be a green flag.
Jazz, did you notice that about him?
Yeah. So when we were first dating, we went, we would go to like Buffalo Wild Wings. That's where we took D. We would go there to get drinks all the time. And then we would go to this lounge, and it was like a basement lounge. We took D there too. It's a basement lounge. There's a lot of people packed. Like, it's a small space, but a lot of people be packed in there and a lot of dudes, right? So going with him, he would always, like Dee said, he would always like pull me in. If it started getting like too crazy, he would just like gently pull me in, and not even like in a way that he was like focusing on me, but he could be talking to somebody and just still like, you know what I mean?
His arm yeah. would just.
And then when my best friend came down to visit, we took her to the same spot too. And so it was me, a couple people, and then her, and she kind of was like, you know, wandering around, but like talking to people, like mingling. So it was like us two, and then she would kind of go out and mingle and then come back. But he still always had eyes on her the whole time. You know what I mean? Like he was like, all right, where's Jay? Like, she good? All right, she over there? Okay, she talking to who? Like, you know what I mean? Like just checking to make sure that everybody was good and that the women were good, and that it does feel good. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I felt that too. I felt like he'd only just met me, but he was very much like, this is my woman, this is her friend, I'm responsible, I'm caring for the two of them, mm-hmm. you know? And so I felt very safe with him too, because I knew that we were being taken care of, you know? Mm-hmm. Not that we couldn't, if we needed to ourselves, but he was there, you know? Mm-hmm. And for him to extend that to me mm-hmm. was like, okay. And I was like, yo, that's powerful. That's powerful, that's safety. And that's something that I want. So that would be, yeah, I would say that.
I want
to add, in addition to sharing the fries. And if you let me have the last one, then we really good.
Okay, so I'm adding that. Jazz, good job.
Yes. Great. All right, so on the flip side, what are some red flags? You're out on a date. He does something cringeworthy. What is it? And we all have experience to pull from, so you might as well reach back into your memories and talk about something that's
back. I can tell you about this morning. What are you saying? No, that list is longer, I think.
Yeah.
I think
go ahead, Candace. I was falling asleep on our date. That would be a red flag.
I remember the story.
Falling asleep.
Are you gonna tell it, or you?
We not. I can tell it. Went to the movies. Supposed to be true. Which I mean, a movie on a first date is also kind of like because you can't talk, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So if you took me to the movie on the first date, I'm already feeling like you're not really feeling me. So that's one. Mm-hmm. But then we get there and you sleep. Like 20 minutes, 30 minutes into the movie, you sleep. On top of that, you snoring. That's a problem. It's a problem. I'm embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be here.
As one is one.
I want to leave, but we came together, so I can't go nowhere. Mm-hmm. So I got to sit here next to your big man body snoring in the movie theater, in a movie that I would actually like to see. So I don't want to leave either, because I want to see this movie. Mm-hmm. But I got you snoring. Nah. That's like an extreme horror story example. But yeah, that would be, you know, I guess not being present on the date would be a red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why go through the effort if you just go?
Right.
What was his job though? Maybe he worked nights and he was tired.
I don't know. I was tired too. I mean, whatever.
All right. Well, I tried to help.
She tried.
Yeah. Dang, that's not okay. No. And you love movies too, like,
right?
No.
You probably like, I could leave, but I can't leave it. Yeah,
right.
Because I mean, yeah, there's.
I can't even spell this by myself, because y'all know I go to movies by myself. I would have done that.
Yeah,
but you asked me to come here with you.
What they say, I could do bad by myself. Ooh, I'm sorry. I remember, this is a reach, because now I'm just now I got the 2-week protocol, so things like this don't happen no more. But I went on a blind date, like blind light. Like I had never seen this guy. I don't even know who set us up. But I used to work late, so I used to get off of work at 9. And so we were like, okay, let's set the date for 9:30. This is when we lived in Korea. So I had to get from Gwanghwamun to Yongsan 9:30 on a Friday night. Now, I don't know if anybody know anything about Korea or Seoul, but it's very crowded. The traffic is bad at that time. Like you would make it there faster if you just walked. So, and I had to change my clothes in the bathroom at work and put my stuff away. I was doing all of that to make this date because we couldn't get our schedules together. So, of course, I get here around 10:15. The date's at Dragon Hill Lodge. Like, so I had to get on a military base. So he had to come out from the date. Like, he had already got the, he was at the table waiting on me. He had to leave the restaurant, come meet me at the gate to escort me in. And I kid you not, for the 45 minutes that I was there, he just ragged me the whole time about how I was late. What kind of woman does this? Why are you so inconsiderate? Like, the whole time.
What?
And I was like, oh, okay. So we're eating, and he's still going on. He's making jabs. Like, even, like, he would ask little questions like, so where are you from, blah, blah, blah. But there was jabs throughout the rest of the night. And so at the end of it, I was like, okay, he's not into me. It was, like, kind of rolling off because I was like, I'm never going to see you again, and I get a free steak, so whatever. So now I'm, like, leaving. He's walking me off. I'm getting ready to get in a cab. He's like, so when can I see you again? I was like, perplexed. So I was like, oh, well, actually, I have an issue with time, and that seems to be an issue for you, so I don't think we need to try this again. He was like, oh, but I had a good time. I was like, oh, okay. Slam the cab doors, like, aja shikaja. Let's go. I don't need this in my life.
Ew.
He was the lowest bar by which all other bars had been set. Like, I was like, never this. Like, don't berate me about anything, you know, on the first date or the 50th. Yeah. I think it was the insecurity coming out, like, being made manifest.
To have the audacity at the end of that, though, to be like, when
to expect a second date. Yeah. I was like, what kind of chicks are you used to dating? Like, you're telling me this is who you are and this is how this relationship is going to go. Right. So I got to be comfortable with you doing this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do it on the first day, what you going to do on the second? Like, mm-hmm. I ain't trying to find out.
What?
No.
Yes, ma'am. And I was this. Like, I was this then. So I'm like, a whole me?
A whole me? I always used to get the musicians, and I don't mean like symphony orchestra or professional recording artist. I mean a rapper in your mama's basement. Somehow.
Got this demo.
So we're out on a date. This was in Korea too, but it happened to me another time in the States. We're out on a date at this cute little restaurant, like on a Friday night or something. I'm dressed cute, as we do. He got on like some cargo. No, he had on some jorts, with a tee. I was like, okay, whatever. So we're sitting there in the middle of the meal, we're eating, and he pulls out this set of Beats by Dre headphone joints, and you know they are not small. And I was just like, that's what you had in your cargo pants? Like, you carry this everywhere you go? So he pulls out his headphones and he's like, yeah, you know, I just wanted you to hear my mixtape. You know, I lay it down on the track. I was just in the studio last week. I put down this track. I want you to hear it. I've been wanting you to hear, you know, some of my work. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm a music head anyways. Maybe that's why I always get these dudes, because it was in my dating profile. So he puts on these big headphones and I'm just like, yeah. Song comes on. The song is garbage, by the way, and I'm just like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, so what you think? I was trying to do this, and I'm like, yeah, I hear what you're trying to do. Yeah. So the whole time, just sitting there with these big old headphones on, trying to vibe out to this trash song, I was just like, yeah, okay, no, yeah, I can't.
He needed that validation that night. Lord of mercy.
Clearly.
But to be fair, maybe I'm always making justification, but anybody who approaches you with music has to be exceptionally good at music. Like, I think you're a tough audience anyway, because you're just a musical person. So he never stood a chance, in my opinion, because...
But there's a better way to go about that, though.
There is a better way.
And in the middle of a date, like, sir.
Right. Like, not putting on your massive headphones on her in the middle of the dinner. That's probably not. Without some other prior, you know, conversation established around that.
Here's my question, Jazz. if it was hot, if it was like, oh my gosh, you made this, like if it was a hot track, there was like J. Cole a cappella in a, you know, in, I don't know, Prince Albert Hall kind of vibe to it. Mm.
If it was a hot track, I would have been more like, okay. But literally in the middle of our conversation, it wasn't like, no, we sat down to talk about music. Oh, I'm an artist, this is what I do. Like, it wasn't that type of vibe. It was like in the middle of us getting to know each other on the first date, asking basic questions like, what kind of food you like? What's your favorite color? Oh, you live with your, like, basic stuff. You know what I mean? So I was just kind of like,
You know what it was? He thought he was hot. He was like, oh, I know what's going to get her. Put these on. And you were like, garbage.
That was his big move.
That was his big move, Jen.
You can't open no big old headphones. You know, we got our hair done. He was trying to like, I'm like, sir, no, sir.
Can you imagine the struggle? Oh, my goodness.
But on the flip side,
you found love, Jazz.
I mean, listen.
Something went well.
We went through some things, and me and myself as a single woman.
Oh, the collective we, okay.
we went through some things, but we got there, we landed. But yeah, so what about best dates? Like, what are some things that you can remember about a date that you was like, you know what, this was actually really fun, I could do it again, I could see myself really feeling this person?
I think, so all of my friends, especially here stateside, say that I tend to end up in relationships and not know I'm in one. And so I think some of my best dates are with people I didn't know I was dating when I was dating them. So maybe that's where the best comes in. It's just, you know, just slide in and then, you know, put a ring on it 6 months down the road. I don't know.
Okay.
That being said, so one of my dates that I didn't know I was on a date was to a martyr museum. And so I think you got to be a unique breed to appreciate. But I didn't know where we were going. It was like a friend of mine, and he was like, I want to take you somewhere, someplace I think you'll like. And I was in my second year of undergrad, and I was a theology major, and I was serving as a chaplain, and I was thinking about being a chaplain for the Navy. So that was my life, was service and ministry. Yeah, and I had been off campus to anywhere interesting and went to the Martyr Museum, and I learned about missions, and I had like a little cross souvenir. I liked it.
That's heavy for a first day.
It was a really good day. That's a really good day.
I think that's your flavor. I think that person had to know you and what you mm-hmm. like, and it fits you. Because I think any old regular chick would be like, why are we here?
Why are we surrounded by death? I think it was the heart around it. All those things that you said. Like for me, all of the dates that stand out as best is when it was a surprise, and then the surprise turned out to be something that was very... from a conversation we had, that person that heard what I said didn't show any acknowledgement on the surface that he heard it, but then implemented a plan to give that to me.
Yeah. I love that. Okay.
That's special.
Okay. I got it now.
Okay.
Dee, what about you? Or what would be like your dream date moment that would be like, okay, I'm feeling this person?
I don't know. I think I also love surprises, but then they do have to be surprises that are like really thoughtful, you know, or something that you have, you know, deduced that I would really like. You know, if your surprise is taking me hiking, that's not going to work because Dilly don't hike. So that's not going to be a good surprise. So I think, yeah, it would have to be something that I think I would enjoy. I did have a date once where the guy took me to a taco festival. That was fantastic.
Nice.
Because I have a very deep love of tacos and nachos, and that's all the festival was just going to various different vendors and eating all day long.
Oh, that's
fantastic. Amazing. Like, that is me. So I think that as long as it's something that I feel like I can connect to and something that I think I would really enjoy, that would work for me. And, or like, you know, going to see a play or something, or, you know, a show, or even just going for a picnic. Like, I don't know, like I'm not, but I'm also not like,
Jess likes picnics.
I'm not like the, I'm not a, like, take me to a fancy restaurant. Like, that's not me, because I don't want to have to get all done up either. You know, like, especially if I don't know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just kind of like a time to connect. Quality time is one of my love languages. So right. Even if it's just like, hey, we're hanging out today and we're going to watch a movie, or we're going to play a game or something, that to me would be really special and fun. Mm-hmm.
The taco date, though, like, tacos are messy. Mexican food is messy. Did you have that whole, like, let me eat cute situation going on?
No, because, see, he knew. So he knew to tell me not to wear anything, like, don't wear lipstick. Mm-hmm. I knew we were going somewhere where food would be involved. So I knew, you know, that I needed to make sure that I wasn't going to be all over the place. So that, he knew. And so that was good. And so I was able to fully enjoy myself without the fear of messing up my outfit or my face or whatever. And it was good. And they, I mean, some of them were messy, but then that was also kind of the fun in it. Like watching you try to eat this big old thing and watching me try to eat this big old thing. Okay, where are we going to go next? Like, that was part of the fun of it. So it was nice.
I think where good guys go wrong when it comes to a date is that part, not telling her what she needs to do to prepare for this date.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because even your best intentions, well, I want to surprise her. I know this place is going to be really fun, but you've never heard her talk about it. Then don't surprise her with that. Like, or at least say, hey, we're going to be outdoors. You might want to wear shoes. Exactly. Or there will be lots of food involved. Wear the elastic band. I'm going to wear my gray sweatpants. You might want to wear yours, you know.
Like, you should not go to a barbecue restaurant if I'm like fully done up and yeah. Like dressed to the nines and I've got all my face, like that's not that kind of date, because I want to be in my barbecue, like I want to be in it, and I can't do that. I'm been nibbling like this, trying to put, no, I don't have to deal with that.
Nobody does.
Do I need to wear sneakers or shoes? Do I need to put on a sweater or a jacket? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing?
Yep. I think if any dude out there wants to get with these two Soul Tongue sisters, you need to keep that in mind. Let them know, but be intentional about likes and dislikes, because that is important. Yeah. For me, the best date that I went on was our fourth date. When I was dating my husband, we weren't even like officially a couple yet. We were just dating. But I had mentioned to him early on that I love music. Of course, we talked about music. And then Maxwell was coming to town. And so I was like, I saw the commercial and like the flyers and stuff. And I was like, dang, like I would love to go see Maxwell live. Like he's coming to town. Like it's going to be a great concert. And he was just like, oh yeah, you know, Maxwell's good. I love his music. This is my favorite song. So we talked about it and then like moved on. So weeks later, he hits me up and he's like, hey, save the date. We're going to see Maxwell live. And I was like,
that's how you do it.
Yeah, right. And I was like, that was something that I mentioned in passing. Like, I wasn't even thinking, like, hey, we should go to this concert. But he clocked it, and he was like, already got the tickets. He sent me my ticket. He's like, here's your ticket. We're going to see Maxwell. And that was one of my favorite dates. It was so good.
That's great.
You married a good dude, Jess.
He's a good dude.
He's really good.
Yeah. He is a good dude. But yeah, he's very intentional. Even like for my birthday this year, he surprised me with a hike to a waterfall. And I love waterfalls. But that day he was just like, all right, get dressed. We got up early. He was like, get dressed. And I was like, okay, what do you mean? And he was like, put on some sneakers and some shorts. I'm taking you out for the day. And I was like, okay, bet. He took me out of town. I had no idea where we were going. We went like an hour and a half out of the city. Yeah. We pull up and I was like, we're going to the waterfall, aren't we? He's like, yep. So yeah, being intentional. Oh, I love it. That's a love language in itself. Just yeah, like, it love it.
I love that. So you see, I think that there are good men out there. I think it just takes a little time to find. Mm-hmm. I think the same could be said about good women. So yeah, we're also saying the same thing. Same thing could be said about us. You know, I mean, all of us have our...
How women can be trash and what to look out for.
Each one of us has had our own journeys, and we've also made mistakes along the way. And we've learned from those. We've learned from our experiences along the way as well. And we've grown, you know? So I think like trying to, I think for me, it's the not giving up part, where they're not being like, to hell with it, I'm good, you know, which is what I used to do or what I would say before. But like, you know what? When Jesus drops him, just have him knock on the door. Like, I'm, you know, like whatever. But I think me being like, well, I also have been an active participant in this relationship seeking process. Mm-hmm. And so what does that look like for me, you know? So mm-hmm. I think he's out there somewhere. You don't have to slide in my DM, but you know, you can come.
Hey.
That company is real. Oh my God.
Y'all, this is one of my favorite topics. Can I just say, we could go on and on.
We need a part two.
We could, y'all, drop a comment. Let us know if y'all want a part two. Thanks for tuning in to another virtual episode. Hit us up in the comments. Let us know what you think. Let us know your dating horror stories, because we know y'all got some. But make sure to subscribe, like, share our content. And we got a whole season left. Season 3 is on and popping. We can't wait to share more. So be sure to hit us up on Instagram. Everywhere where podcasts are found, YouTube, visit our YouTube channel and subscribe. All right, ladies.